from the Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 23. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore do what they teach you and follow it. But do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplace, and to have people call them Rabbi. But you are not to be called Rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one Father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be allowed to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." Dear listeners, wise heads from time immemorial have, I'm sure, given advice of this kind. And those who heard it nodded their heads. "That makes ethical sense," we said. But have we practiced what we teach? I, for one, have only occasionally been true to promises solemnly made and to ethical guidelines that I agree with in theory. More is needed from me than mere approval of the wisdom of commandment and instruction. Love is what I need most. Not, mind you, love of law or commandment, but love of the wisdom that lies behind instruction. Love of the word of God who spoke command. Love of the Lord who guided and advised those who were on the road to anywhere. "Come now, let us talk this over," the Lord God of Israel is quoted as saying in today's first reading at Mass from the opening chapter of Isaiah. This phrase, "Come, let us talk this over," would indicate to me that the prophet was aware in his heart of a divine willingness to engage, perhaps to discuss the detail of what needed to be done to repair the damaged conversation between humanity and God. A divine invitation to look more closely at what was wrong and how it might be put right. As we know, the divine engagement in seeking to restore the links that had been severely damaged when Adam and Eve tried to hide themselves from the Lord, this engagement took the form not only of some prophet transmitting a message that seemed to come from above. No, the Lord God became human, and the conversation could now more easily be understood by us, in that our language and our preoccupations were shared by the very word, the wisdom that lies behind all that is or might come to be. It is the grace, the presence of the Lord, that enables us to turn away from what is harmful, for it is the Lord who is both signpost and guide as we seek the way of salvation and life. Finally, seeking justice and rescuing those who are in any way oppressed, this is a central part of the portfolio of one who seeks that restoration of conversation with the Lord God. No wonder that care of the poor, care of the abandoned, the homeless, the depressed, the lonely, those who have been ill-treated or even just disappointed in life and relationships up to now, care of these is effectively care of the Lord still walking among us. In Lent, we prepare to celebrate the resurrection. And that risen life means also that he who was once practically helpless under the weight of the cross and needed the support of Simon will now and always provide for us the strength and assistance we need in managing to bear one another's burdens. The Lord, who learned to speak our language, invites us to learn and to refresh repeatedly our knowledge of the divine language, the Word of God, the Word who is God.